of Love. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1819. The Marquis of Darrancourt drove his phaeton with a flourish out of London. He was well aware that every pedestrian he passed stopped and stared as he flashed past them. The two horses that he had purchased at Tattersall's sale rooms were superb and matched each other perfectly. The special phaeton that he had designed himself was yellow with black wheels and quite the smartest one in the whole of St. James's Street. The Marquis himself was well worth looking at, too. He was very handsome, and his looks and in his behaviour he lived up to his nickname, which was Darin the Daring. He had earned it when he was plain Captain Clive Darin in the army. He would undertake any mission, however difficult and risky, and yet he had succeeded in remaining alive. The Marquis was today setting off on what was to him a new mission. It was unlike anything that he had done before. He had decided to be married. He had been aware ever since the war was over, and he was moving around, as one or more of the celebrated bachelors in the whole of the Beau Monde, that he would eventually have to take a wife. He himself had been an only son. He was well aware that his father, before he died, and all his relations, had been terrified that he would be killed on the battlefield. He had thought to himself at the time that he would have to marry, as it would be a great pity if the Darrancourt name, which had played its part in British history all down the ages, should come to an end. The Marquisate, which had been created 100 years before, was an additional glory, and it was something which should not be lost. The Marquis was well aware of the importance of his position, his great wealth, and his good looks. It meant that there was not a debutante who was not striving to attract his attention, or an ambitious mamma who was not praying that he would become her son-in-law. It had not made him conceited, just slightly cynical. He felt, at the back of his mind, he would like to be married for himself rather than for his possessions, and his contemporaries would laugh at him for being sentimental. At the same time, he was an avid reader. He had therefore often thought that he would like to search for true love as it had been sought for in the past. He had been very impressed by the poems written by Lord Byron. He, of course, knew him as they both belonged to the same club, which was White's in St. James's. The Marquis, on his return from the war to England, then spent a considerable amount of time with exceedingly attractive and sophisticated married women. They were only too willing to receive him secretly when their husbands were away in the country. They were definitely of the Beau Monde, and yet the Marquis found that they behaved like the French cocottes he had known in Paris. That was while he was in France with the army of occupation. Now, not only his grandmother, but several of his relations were begging him almost on their knees to take a wife. He had looked at the debutantes and thought that he had discovered a perfect pearl amongst them. Lady Charlotte Ward was the only daughter of the Earl of Langward and was most undoubtedly the greatest beauty of the younger generation. She had been a top debutante the previous year, and Lady Charlotte had received, the Marquis was told, dozens of proposals of marriage. Almost every eligible bachelor had laid his heart at her feet, and she had refused them all. It meant, the Marquis had supposed, that she was waiting to fall in love. He had first met Lady Charlotte at a ball. When he had danced with her, he thought that her great beauty was even more outstanding than it had been described to him. She had almost classic features. Her skin was as white as marble, and soft as a rose petal. She was very sure of herself, and therefore amusing and fun, and she was not too shy, occasionally to utter a double entendre, or a provocative reply to a question. By the third time the Marquis met her, there was no doubt in his mind that she would grace the end of the table at Darrancourt.